It was great that for our first season, we went up to 14 on the ratings. So that made everybody quite happy, and we were feeling pretty secure now that the show was, quote-unquote, a success. So then we got the call, well, we're going to start filming again, you know, beginning of summer. I said, great. I think in the second season, the focus kind of went away from the bachelor father type of syndrome. He was our uncle, but bachelor father had been done, and there was only so many ways you could play that joke. And what I think really endeared it to the audiences was now the feeling of family, that the children were feeling accepted. And then the stories revolved more around each of the characters and their relationship to the family. What happened in the second season, too, is that more of the background of the characters were explored. And there is one episode called The Family Reunion, where we actually go back to Terre Haute, Indiana. And we actually went back to Indiana, which was the back lot in Hollywood, and that posed as Indiana. And we investigated some of the background of the characters. We went to the park where the kids used to play, and I saw an old boyfriend who invited us back to this small town of Indiana. Now, we had never, as a family, you know, gone out. That first season was such culture shock because here we were from the Midwest, which has a different kind of set of values and morals and mores than perhaps big city New York. In the second season, we're kind of getting used to that and venturing out a little bit. And there's one wonderful episode called Fat Fat the Water Rat. And Buffy was usually wearing some jeans and t-shirts when she's playing in Central Park. And these kids thought that, she's one of us. And she wanted to be one of them. She wanted to, you know, because I think it reminded her of her Indiana friends. And then, though, the father thinks, oh, you're just slumming when he finds out that Uncle Bill is this really rich fellow. And so there was this contrast between the rich and the people that didn't quite have as much. There was another episode which showed this disabled boy and the contrast between what the kids were doing, what the kids had. But again, I think that that's what made the show endure, because it showed the different aspects that were really going on in reality, and how they could be co-joined and what could be done about it, how they could be approached from a humanitarian, loving point of view instead of an insulting point of view. Instead of tearing things apart, try to bring things together.
Now, Bill, you did say we'd discuss the report tonight.
We said that?
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday was my day for rash promises.
Uncle Bill was such a fabulous character, and this freewheeling bachelor, he was an international engineer, so he traveled the world. I think that was one of the reasons that he was still a bachelor, you know, this very handsome, sophisticated, debonair person that was also, you know, got right down with the construction crews and say, hey, we're going to build a bridge, and you can even picture Brian picking up a shovel and helping his crew out. But still, he had the intellect, he had the education. But I think there was a part of him that said, well, I don't want to, you know, have a wife and or children that when I'm gone a lot. And he was well taken care of. Mr. French was his, you know, ballet wife. But, like in the second season, it went away so much from here's the, all, you know, the stream of beautiful women coming in that are potential mates for him, because there was something that was a better value, and that was the love of the family. And that were these children that were so much in need and all alone. And here was something that he could give to them. And here was something that it wasn't so important just to live the high life and to go out to dinner every night and to do this and that. Here was a little girl that couldn't join the Brownies. Or here was a little boy whose feelings were hurt because he couldn't play baseball. And he found that he loved loving them. And even in the Birds, Bees, and Buffy, where they bring up, you know, these questions, and what does he know? He has not gone through the different steps of raising a family. He has an instant family. And so when they are confronted, Mr. French and Uncle Bill, with, well...
Uncle Bill?
Yeah?
Where do they find babies?
And they're trying to figure out how to adequately and politely and graciously let the little kids know where babies come from. And then Miss Faversham, Mr. French's friend, who is also a nanny, says, well, no, I don't think the story is perhaps the best way to tell them. So then Brian comes, well, it's love. That's how babies are made. And again, I think that besides the sadness which is lifted, it's the love that plays throughout the show, all five seasons. First, from the very first season all the way to the fifth season.
Come on, Buff, you can do it. That's my sister.
After the first season, Johnny and Anissa were kind of growing up. For the second season, they felt much more comfortable. It was easier for them to learn lines. Now, you must remember, Johnny was only 6 when the show started. Even though he was supposed to still be 6 in the second season, he had his birthday, so he was 7 and 8. And Anissa was always 3 years older, so she was 9 and 10 already, still playing a 6-year-old because she was very, very tiny. Mrs. Beasley hadn't aged a bit. There were different talents that were explored in each of the characters. Jody, Johnny Whitaker, and could he really play baseball or softball? Well, it was discovered that he couldn't, but Anissa could. And I was able to draw and to sketch. There is one episode where I really did the caricatures of the whole family, and that was reproduced in some magazines, and it's in the episodes. And, of course, Brian's talent for parenting was progressing. Sissy changed through the second season in the fact that before, I think she felt that these were her children in a way that she had to be responsible for. She was the older sister, and there was always this tonality of triste. There was a sadness that went through as a through line throughout the season, because indeed we were orphans, and we were with not our parents, and we would hearken back to some of that. So I think that you would almost term what we were doing as a dramedy, because even though it fell into a sitcom genre, there was this sadness and the drama about it. Now, a lot of the stories for Sissy changed, and it went about her dating, and it went about her progress outside of the family, going to be a candy striper. Now, a candy striper, actually, I had played a candy striper on a Dr. Kildare episode, and my mother was an RN. For those people that don't know what a candy striper is, it's an aide that goes to a hospital, and they wear these red and white striped uniforms, hence the name, and we help the people that are patients in the hospital. This particular episode, the candy striper, revolves around the fact that I still am just 15, and you have to be 16 to really be a candy striper, but I begged Uncle Bill, and at the same time Buffy, Anissa Jones, she wanted to be a brownie, but she still wasn't the age, and so we usually had one plot and a subplot. The plots congealed, and I said, oh dear, I made a mistake in my episode. But I learned a lesson, and Buffy learned that she has to wait until she's the proper age. We had a lot of great guest stars on Family Affair, and especially in the second season. There was Joan Blondell on the Somebody's Upstairs, and she was very... It was more of a stage presentation, and she was a big personality, kind of an Ethel Merman kind of personality. She was always the wisecracking second banana or apple or peach to the main lady. But she was terrific. And Ann Southern was on a show. I had done the Ann Southern show when I was just like 7 years old. So that was kind of a reunion for us. We had Lee Merriweather on our show, and that was the former Miss America. I still see Lee And she's beautiful, just as she was then. That was one of Brian's girlfriends. So we had a lot of wonderful guest stars.
Introducing the Davis sisters, Vicky and Venetia.
Let me entertain you. Let me make you smile.
I love the Somebody's Upstairs episode because it gave Anissa and I an opportunity to sing and to dance. And I had taken piano since I was a small child. My son's taking piano. But the episode, a lot revolved around child actors. And I was acting since I was 7 years old, Ten Commandments, not the silent version. But beside, you know, so I had been a child actor forever, and I was working with two child actors. I'm a very good friend with Paul Peterson that does A Minor Consideration. Jackie Coogan was in one of our episodes, and he was a child actor. So there is a lot of controversy about putting children into TV, into films, into stage. I personally had a fabulous experience, and I would never have denied and. I loved it, and I thank my parents for giving me that wonderful opportunity. William D. Russell was a wonderful director and a sitcom director. He had done Hazel and Leave It to Beaver and a lot of those shows, and he was our first director. We had to have just one director for the whole season because of the way we shot, with Brian doing all of his scenes in those first 26 days. But then he had had a stroke, and he had had a stroke actually before he even started the first season. So he really was not feeling that well. And so from the second season, he was really not up to a whole season of kids and quickly going like this. He did one of the episodes in the second season, but Charlie Barton took over. Now, Charlie was fabulous. He was such a fun director. He was just like a little elf. He was only 5'2", just about my size. He had done tons and tons and tons and tons of work. He did Abbott and Costello, and he had also done Hazel. He had done a lot of Disney movies, and he had a totally different style, though, than William Russell. Now, Charlie was really super into comedy. And Mr. Russell was a little more serious in his approach and in his directing. William Russell was kind of like Sebastian Cabot in the way that they approach things, because Sebastian would sit and learn all of his lines, and William Russell would, over the weekend, and William Russell would really make notes and figure out exactly what they were going to do for each scene. Well, Charlie was like Brian Keith. And so Brian would come and say, what are we doing today? Uh-huh. And Charlie would say, oh, yeah, now, what scenes are we doing today? Okay, we'll put the camera over there, and then we'll bring the kids in here, and we'll do that. Okay. But he was so comfortable in doing this, and he had done so many shows, that there was a nice, fast pace. There was really kind of a spontaneity, which is always good with kids. I never met Frank DeBall. I had always wanted to, who wrote the music and that very catchy tune that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. If someone doesn't remember, oh, I was on Family Thing. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, yes, I remember that show. I love that show. And so it was one of those memorable tunes that sticks in people's heads. But I never met Frank. I love that the second season just went way up to number 4 in the ratings, and that made everybody feel very comfortable. And also, we were nominated for the best comedy series. Brian Keith was nominated, and Sebastian Cabot for the best actors. Now, unfortunately, because they were both nominated, I think they canceled each other out, and Don Adams got it. We should have gotten smart. We got a lot of feedback from people all over the United States, and then when the show went worldwide, it still affected everyone because we were dealing with human themes, and that affected everyone. I remember getting almost like in a movie, sacks of fan mail. You know, they brought them and I said, oh, wow, that's just like the movie. The show touched a lot of people's hearts. And, you know, people sometimes don't remember what you do and they don't remember what you said, but they always remember how you made them feel. And I think we made people feel sad. We made people feel good. And I think we also had this nice, you know, message that they could take away with them and that they could apply and use in their own lives.